on.
Blog Talk
Good
Radio.
Morning. Good morning. Amazon. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite on the Student to Teacher to Student radio show on the internet. What a beautiful, wonderful day it is here in Arizona. However, I'm hoping that wherever you're calling in from, wherever you're listening from, that you're having a beautiful day also. You know, it's interesting how a beautiful day can be interpreted how we want to perceive it. Because sometimes when it's raining, to me, it's a beautiful day. Sometimes when it's sunshiny, it's a beautiful day. So it really just depends on how we internalize the environment around us. And so speaking of environment, we're going to be talking about a continuation of a show that we've been doing off and on with the student-to-teacher-to-student radio show, and that is, do teachers burn out as quickly as students drop out? This is a theme, an underlying theme that we've been working with for some time. Every show has new information, so we're hoping that even though you're looking at a description, unfortunately, that has not been edited for today's show, we have some updates to bring you about not only the dropout situation, and how teacher burnout is affected, and fear, burnout and fear. And we're also going to be talking about how we can drop seeds of love within our educational system. So without further ado, I can't forget this very important thing, listeners. We have some great resources on the GED, which is the test that people take to pass their high school equivalency, okay? It's a general equivalency examination, and what it does is actually say, do you know what you were supposed to know in high school, okay? And so some people are able to take that test the first time and pass it because the brain is just so marvelously created, thanks to our creator, that information that you receive from grades kindergarten through whenever you dropped out of school, if some of you have dropped out, some of our listeners out there, your brain has already picked up that information and encoded it into your psyche, into your whole being. So that information never really goes away. And so I encourage our listeners to listen for resources this morning. Our switchboard is lighting up. Let's go ahead and find out who's calling in this morning. Good morning. We have a call, and I think it's a California number, a 213. You're on the air. This is Professor Applewhite. How are you? Good morning. Good morning. Can you say hello to us if you'd like? Okay, we're asking you to talk to us. Okay, wait a minute. Here we go. We lost that call from Los Angeles, I believe it was. Okay, good morning, Poirot 213.
Good morning, Professor Apple.
Oh,
this
good
Dorothy.
Morning. Dorothy Rashid, our resource consultant for White Apple Institute, and good morning to you. Dorothy, please hold on just a moment because we're going to come back to you. We need your help to read the description for the show today, okay?
Okay.
What you want us to talk about, and I've got some new information, okay?
All right.
The switchboard this morning, we've got a couple of more people here. Hello, good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Good morning, 480200.
This is Maria.
Maria Ramirez, always a pleasure to hear from you. Our
good
general
morning.
Our general membership, good morning. General
good morning.
Director, yes. All of you who are interested in White Apple Institute and a membership, this is going to be the person you're going to talk to. And we also have online In a few moments, we'll have Tom Baker online, who is also a very big part of the Student Advisory Board, just joining White Apple Institute. And he'll be calling the number in a moment and joining us online. And so, Maria, stay tuned because Tom is going to be on there to join with you, okay? And we got another phone call coming in. It looks like a Las Vegas number. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Hey, Professor Applewhite. Jerry Govan here. How are you this morning?
Jerry Govan, the author of Take the E Out of Ego and Go.
Yeah, we're going. We had a wonderful radio show last night and delighted to be on. That was also broadcast through Skype as well, so you could see us in person. That will let you know where that's going to be. Internet beyond that, that was on the radio network.
Wonderful.
And we're delighted to be here this morning. Knowing the challenges of being ready for tests, I've even had to go through that in my lifetime. Ha ha.
Yes.
It is something that you have to look and learn about, and we'll share more this morning as you go on.
Absolutely. Let's see if we can get our co-host this morning. It looks like our co-host is ready, Mr. Nazim Rashid, calling in here. Good morning.
Good morning, Professor Abel. Nazim Rashid here.
Good morning, Nazim Rashid, a personal development consultant for White Apple Institute. This man that you hear every Saturday, he's the co-host of the show. And all of you have, with all your writings in and calls in and support, always given great applause to Nazim Rashid. Great information that he shares with us about his background, about his book called Reconnecting. Certainly, everyone enjoys that great music that you allow us to share with our listeners to open and close our show, Nazim. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Today, we're going to talk about topics of love, and you have a whole chapter to that, basically, in your book. Okay. We have a few more callers we're going to go ahead and open up for so that everybody's online. We've got about 52 minutes remaining on the show. We want to make sure that we get a lot of information out to you. Okay. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Good morning.
Yeah, this is Tom with Applewhite Institute.
White Apple Institute.
White Apple Institute.
Right. Wonderful. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. We got a little feedback going on, so maybe we'll work on that in a moment. But it's a pleasure to have you calling in this morning, okay? All right, so we're going to start our show. Let's have Dorothy read our description, okay?
I can't hear you right now. Good morning.
There's some feedback. There's some feedback from Professor Apple.
Okay. Dorothy, can you read our description?
Okay, sure. Okay.
Breaking up.
Okay, good morning. Can you hear me now?
Good morning,
yes,
listeners. I think that everybody's there. There we go.
Oh, we're going to talk about students dropping out because of academic failure and overall lack of support.
That's right.
Parents, teachers, and community leaders. Mm-hmm. And we'll touch on teachers burning out because of lack of administrative support.
Mm-hmm.
So we're inviting the listeners to share their experiences. Pardon?
Yeah. I heard something else. Yeah. I heard that it's more than just the lack of administrative support. I mean, since we've been doing this particular theme, we've had a lot of calling in and that, you know, they feel that there's a lack of information coming from we eliminated the feedback. Okay. A lot of information that that the colleagues that they work with have not been able to support them, and so that is a real issue with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So anyway, you know, this an old description, well, I shouldn't say old, but a previous description that we used, and I just wanted to add a few more things to this morning Nazim and I have been having ongoing discussions about why the issues that are happening, you know, if you take just the Chicago school incident and Newark and all of the other issues that are going on around the country right now with students killing other students. And these are usually students who have dropped out. Okay? There's some background noise. We ask all our listeners to be very conscientious of any background noise and mute the phone or cover their screen. So thank you very much for that. But, you know, we've been very concerned about what's been going on and what is feeding this kind of energy with students. Young adults, 16, 17, 18 years old and up, are taking weapons to their hands and killing another human being, another student, usually the same age as 50 years older than themselves. Some of it randomly, some of it's focused on, I just don't like this individual. What's happening is it's causing this fear factor, Dorothy, within this, not only with the students, with the teachers. You know what I mean, Dorothy? Dorothy? Hello?
Yes.
Sorry, okay. But you hear what I was saying now about that, Dorothy?
Yes.
I don't know if you heard. Yes. That the fear, the fear factors that are going on. And I mentioned last week that Chicago received a $30 million grant, and what they've done is beef. Okay. There's still another caller online that has some background noise going. Ask again that you, I can't see the switchboard and find out who it is, but if you just be conscious of the fact that there's more people. And we have another caller coming on. We're going to go ahead and take that call. All right, this is Professor Applewhite. Good morning, this is Professor
Applewhite. This is...
Okay, Tom Baker, you're back on.
Okay, great. Hello?
Okay, please make sure you cover your mouth. Cover your mouth so mute your phone. There we go. And we've got another caller coming in from Los Angeles. 213 number. Okay, could someone please take a look?
There's an alarm right there.
Okay. We're waiting now for mute their phone. You can mute your phone from on the phone, or you can do a star 6 and use to mute your phone. Okay? This is Professor Applewhite with the Student to Teacher to Student Radio Show. Good morning.
I'm talking to 480-84.
Hello? Say hello.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. Thank you. Is that Tom?
Yeah.
All right. Stay online for. All right. Okay, we lost a call from Los Angeles again. I hope that calls in. Let me continue on with the show here. Switchboard can take a lot of time away from us. We just want to make sure that we get all our listeners calling in. All right. Okay. What I was saying is that we want to make sure that we... okay, hold on a minute. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, that did it. That took care of that background noise, I think. Okay.
It
all right.
Sounds like it's on your end there.
Like a what?
Sounds like it's on your end because you're breaking up a little bit.
Okay. All right, we'll fix that right now. Okay. Hold on, listeners. Get on the show and talk. Okay. We're going to turn that speaker off. How about now? Is that better? Is that a better reception? Wonderful. All right, well, back to the theme of our show today. What I'd like to do, as we're talking about these seeds of love that we can plant. Now, one of the problems that we're having, and we even got a feedback last week, Nazim, on the show, that some people felt that there was too much talk about, you know, God and love and that kind of thing. But our premise, is that we do believe in the creation. We do believe in love. And White Apple Institute only operates out of love. That's our biggest fueling source, in addition to the fact that as a backup, of course, we need financial support and we need people to take out membership so that they can support the work we're doing because we're volunteers. All of us are volunteer staff. And but we can't help but acknowledge the fact that there's something that's not right when people feel uncomfortable about learning, about going to school and progressing through life. We know there's got to be something wrong when people are in fear. Right, Nazim?
Of course,
people
yeah,
are in
right.
fear. Okay? And so the only thing that I know of, and I'm open to other listeners saying something, the only thing I know of that counteracts fear is love. Okay? We have another caller, and let me go ahead and just say hello to this caller. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. You're on the Student to Teacher to Student radio show. How are you? Good morning. Good morning. Say hello.
Hello?
Hi. Good morning. What's
Hi.
Your name? Hi. What's your name?
This is Queen Ima.
Hi, Queen and Ima, students of White Apple Institute. We appreciate you calling in this morning. Hope that you'll enjoy the show and share any resources that you have, any ideas, any feelings, okay? Because we want to know, we want to understand what it feels like when people go through the fear of going to school and then they feel that they have to drop out because teachers aren't there to support. Sometimes teachers are going through their own burnout stuff and they're not giving to the students, and then the students feel it's like this cycle that they go through. You know, the student comes into school, tell me if I'm wrong, you sit down in the classroom, then you expect the teacher to give you some support. I mean, that's what you go there for. And when the teacher doesn't give that support, then you feel like, well, what am I doing here? You know, I'm not getting anywhere, okay? And so we begin to drop out because life problems happen. Life problems happen, and it just overwhelms us. So we appreciate you calling in this morning. Stay tuned because we're going to go back to the fact that I want other listeners that are on the show this morning to talk about how they feel about addressing fear with love within our school systems. Any comments from anybody?
Nope.
You got anything?
Okay. All right. One moment. No. One moment. I'm not getting you because you need to be unmuted. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have someone that wants to share here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know if teachers encourage students, especially at places like Chicago where all the shootings are going on and stuff, to stay in school and that it's a good idea and that they're encouraged them through love and understanding that they can reduce the dropout rate and also encourage them not to drop out because when you drop out, your job prospects greatly diminish.
Right, exactly. Your job prospects diminish. The ability to progress in this life diminishes because people lose respect. And it starts with the individual. The individual begins to lose respect for himself or herself. And looking in the mirror every morning becomes harder and harder as each day passes once the dropout process begins. And we have people that call us, can call White Apple Institute that have been out of school for many, many years. And we're so proud of them for finally making that decision to call us. Because that means that the process of beginning to love themselves, Tom, just basically what you were saying, beginning to love themselves is starting again. And we want to encourage that. Anybody else? Any other comments? Please, feel free to jump in. Dean, what do you
think? Okay, I'll jump in there. Okay, yes. Well, one thing we have to really understand is that the children are not responsible for a lot of things here. You know, they are, this is why we call them minors. They're not at the age of responsibility. It's the adult that actually form the society, healthy society, for them to grow into without fear. So if there's fear there, it's something that the parents, the caretakers, we out here in society are not forming to make sure that they don't live in fear. We're not providing the right kind of love and empathy and compassion in the environment, in society, in the culture, so that they can come up and grow without that. They can grow in the fear. See?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, look how like a womb. The womb is poison. The baby is going to have some poison when they come out here. Like when women have a crack cocaine system, the babies come out crack babies. It's not the baby's fault. It's the mother's fault. So it's
our fault now we have
to provide for them.
Exactly. But we have to go back again now. Now we start back with what's going on with the mother. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And as we trace the cycle back and back and back, we find that somehow along the line, the cycle must be broken. Okay? Hold on a minute. I've got a Las Vegas number calling in. Just a moment. Professor Applewhite is online with you. How are you? Thank you for calling in. Okay? All right. We'll just go ahead and let you listen to the show here. One of the things that I want that you said, Nazim, is very important, that this cycle begins, the mother with the crack or whatever is going on with her alcoholism, incarceration issues. There's a lot of different things that happen to people in their lives that cause them to drop out of life, not just drop out of school. School is just one of the things that they start dropping out of. But once a student drops out of school, they start dropping into other things that are going on in that outer world. And unfortunately, many of those things are very negative. But one of the things that you mentioned that brings to mind some of the research that's out there is that there's an onset of mental illness. There's an onset of diagnoses of children before the age of 16, sometimes even Oprah did a show on a six-year-old little girl diagnosed with childhood schizophrenia, which is very rare. But we're finding an onset of mental illness and learning disabilities that's beginning to impact the way the success rate of students in school. When people don't feel good about the way they're learning and they're going through a lot of academic failure and then pressure from peers, all of this, and then they go home to a family life that's not feeding them.
Put it back, bro.
Boy, do we feel the impact. How do we stop that? How do we stop that? See, that's the key. And the only thing Professor Applewhite has to say is love. And some of you might say, well, how do you implement love? How do you get love into another human being's life that maybe you don't even know? How do you show them that? How do we show them that, listeners?
Do you want me to respond?
Sure.
Okay. They have to deserve, I have this honorable guest as a quote, you have to deserve before you desire. So they have to feel that they are worth loving and love themselves.
Love
and
themselves.
And then as they feel that with themselves, you have to give it to somebody else. You have to do it. When you're filled up with love, you cannot be content. Your soul will not let you be content with holding all that love to yourself. You have to give it away. You have to do
that's
that.
Right.
Love is meant to be given away.
Absolutely. And if we don't start with ourselves, and I talk about this a lot, and by the way, any of you that are not interested in speaking up, because I know right now we're running about over 800 listeners right now, and we appreciate you listening into the show, but we do have a chat room, and you're welcome to go on to the chat room, and Nazim Rashid will respond to you, take down your information, okay, or Tom Baker. So you do have people that will be listening to you on chat. But that's a very good point. And if we don't look at the resource within ourselves, okay, that's where it starts. The first thing we ask students, Nazim, as you know, when they connect with us at White Apple Institute is we're trying to figure out what made them make the phone call, okay? What is the reason for your call? And many times it's because they're beginning to start loving themselves and beginning to feel that they deserve to have a better life. Do you agree?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Any other comments out there?
I think that I believe that part of the problem, a huge part of the problem, is not just, I think it's like a threefold problem. It starts in the home with the students. And then it also kind of matriculates down to, like, even in the school systems, the school teachers aren't being paid enough to do the job that they're being expected to do, but the job still needs to be done. That's why I say it's threefold. Like, when I, as a student, come from a home where, like, I don't feel love from my parents, where, like, everybody around me, the people that do show me love are the people who are doing the bad things, like they're selling drugs and things like that. But that's where, that's all I know of love. And then I go to school, and my teacher is angry because they don't make enough money to pay their bills. So, and like, and I watched this happen. Like, I would go to class, and I had a teacher who would say, "Well, your assignment's on the board. Get it done. I don't care whether you pass or fail. I'm getting the paycheck regardless." And you know, like that makes. That makes the students feel like, you know, like, what's the point of me keep coming here? Why would I do anything to try to help these people out or try to do anything here when, like, they don't care about me, my parents don't care about me. The only people that care about me is a dope dealer. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go sell dope. Or, you know what I mean?
What is your name? I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. Just tell me your first name.
This is Jerron.
Jerron, thank you so much for sharing this morning. I appreciate that. So much. Yeah. Ron is one of the people involved in one of our contractors with White Apple Institute, Ray of Hope Church in Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you for your excellent comments that you just gave, and a great example. And that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to get teachers that are really interested in changing the classroom environment and changing the success rate. We want them to call in to this radio show every Saturday morning and join with us and try to develop a positive dialogue. We've had students call in, Jerron, that have said to us and said to the teachers who are on the show, thank you so much, and we wish that we had more teachers like you in our classroom. Okay? We want the teachers that are calling in and listening today, we want you to spread the news. We want more teachers to convince our students, number one, to return to school, number two, for those that are even questioning dropout, to think twice. There are people who care about you. The seeds of love we are trying our best to plant right now. Thank you so much for that example. Any other examples that we have of how we can address and drop some seeds of love so that we can talk about how to avoid this dropout issue?
I got a comment.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is Tom. Another thing that's important, it may be an aspect of love depending on how you categorize it, but it's respect. Sometimes when you go to college or regular high school, the teachers don't seem to respect you enough or give you enough credit. And that goes a long way towards getting through school and making good grades and being motivated.
Yes, and part of that respect, and, you know, we're still starting out. One of our greatest teachers that comes on, Habibullah Saleem, probably would say this about love, that right in that word love has to be the word respect, okay? And that respect is respect for ourselves as teachers. You know, I have respect for myself as a teacher. I love what I do. For 30 years plus, I love what I do. But there are days that I have my own issues, and I may come into a classroom and not feel very well. But still, you learn how to overcome that because you don't know what the students in that classroom have gone through. And many times, I don't care if we're talking about a 16-year-old or a 30-year-old that's in an adult basic education course. They come to sit before us because they believe. They somehow derive from way inside of themselves enough faith to make that step to register for a class or to call White Apple Institute and say, I want to get my GED, okay? That takes a lot of respect for yourself, a lot of courage, and we congratulate those who have made that step. Any other comments out there before I start sharing some things on GED resources?
Yeah, this is Jerron again. One thing I think that kind of contributes to the problem with the teachers especially is that there are a lot of teachers that teach because it's a job. You know what I mean? Like, I think that, like, if everyone is as devoted as you are, per se, you know what I mean? Like, you're more devoted than a lot of teachers. A lot of teachers, they get up and they prepare themselves to go to work. They go, and their job is to make sure the kids have the ability to learn the stuff. It's not their job to make sure the kids are able to succeed. It's their job to give them the opportunity if the kids want to succeed, whereas some of them take more responsibility than that, you know what I mean? And I think that, like, teaching is one of those jobs that you can't do as a job. Like, it's got to be something that's a part of you, something that you're devoted to, because it's kind of like being a doctor. Like,
No one that's a doctor is wants to go through all of that school just because they need a job. You know, you have to be, you kind of have to have an interest in the medical field. And because the standards for teaching in this country are so low, like a lot of these teachers pass through the cracks that are not making it better, but they're actually making it worse by making the kids feel even less loved, or making the kids feel even less interested or less like they can succeed. You know what I mean?
It's a very serious thing. I'll tell you that, Juwan, because when we're talking about the fact that, let me give you a figure here, so this will make this even ring more. The working life of each high school dropout, the cost to the nation, to the United States. Now we've got callers that are calling in from Nigeria and China, so of course this figure might not fit for them, but the cost in the United States for a high school dropout is $292,000. That's over a quarter of $1 million. This is the lost tax revenues because dropouts earn less and therefore pay less in taxes than high school graduates. And it also is a cost of providing food stamps and other aid to dropouts and of incarcerating those who turn to crime. So this is a collective amount of money that research has put together, and that's a lot of money. And if you think about $292,000, what we could do with that if we could avoid people from dropping out and turning to a life of crime because they're out in the streets and they can't find a job. And with our economy now, it's even worse, isn't it? It's worse than that,
right?
Yeah. It's worse because, I mean, we've got college graduates out of work. So even when I'm looking at the fact that people are calling me with college degrees and saying, I had to take a job at McDonald's. So in my mind, because of the kinds of students that I work with, I'm like, oh, my God, what's going to happen to my student who's got a dropout history and an incarceration issue, okay? Now, how are they going to find a job if the college graduate is taking the so-called the lowest labor paying job? What are they going to do?
Right, and then to add to that problem, you have like a lot of people who are like willing to take jobs even less than that. I mean, like a lot of the illegals that will take jobs, and then you have like the company owners who are suffering too, so they have to go with the lowest person on the totem pole. So like they're going to try to get away with what they can get away with. So like it just kind of leaves, you know, like a big hole for people who, you know, who don't have at least a high school diploma or GED. You know, like it's hard for them to get. Like it's impossible.
Yeah. Okay. Now some of you have written down that figure, and by the way, that comes from a study done with Northeastern University. You want more information on that study, feel free to connect with us at White Apple Institute. Dorothy, would you give out the number and the call information and how to connect with White Apple Institute? Because I've got something to tell you about African Americans in a moment. Go ahead, Dorothy.
Okay. Yes, our website is whiteappleinstitute.org. Our phone number locally is 480-659-8582. And our talk show number again is 646-727-3758. Also, the chat is available at blogtalkradio.com, teachers to student to teacher.
Just go ahead and hit the chat button and you can chat with us. Let me give you some information, listeners. And I think most of you know this, that there's a higher rate of African Americans that are incarcerated. But we're talking about right now, the latest figure is 1 in 4 young black male dropouts are incarcerated or institutionalized on a just about an average day. Okay? And that compares with 1 in 14 young male white, Asian, or Hispanic dropouts. Now, the Hispanic sisters and brothers are right behind that figure. Actually, and we're getting a higher rate of Asians now, and mostly Vietnamese that are coming in and are dropping out. As a matter of fact, their rate is higher than Hispanics now. Okay, but it's tittering in around the same area. Let me give you this too. Almost 23% African American, and less than 8% of all other ethnic groups. Now that causes some seriousness. And it also causes us to look at what's happening in Chicago and other places with this institutional, this gang killing all these game killing, the anger, right? The anger, the fear. Young ladies, women with children, single moms that are struggling to try to find a job to get off of food stamps, to get off the rolls. How, where do they go? There's got to be an answer. Go ahead. Anyone that feels comfortable just sharing their story, especially a success story. Go ahead.
Yes, Nazim here again. And one thing they're doing in Chicago and that needs to be done everywhere are more activities for the kids.
Yes.
You know, I'm telling you, now, as I've been teaching, you know, for several years, you know, I found out that the parents, I should say the kids who are more successful or on the right path have parents who keep them busy. They keep no downtime almost. They're in activities all the time. That's why mentoring programs, you have music programs, drama classes, you have all kinds of games, and, you know, you have all kinds of activities. So the kids stay busy, and they're staying busy with a balanced, healthy adult. And so when the kids are busy like that, they have no time to think about the gang culture and the violence culture and who can they kill today to earn points with a gang. They have no time to think about that. That's why the old saying, you know, idle mind is devil's workshop. That really proves true here.
Okay. So we're talking about one of the things, we've got some strategies here for you to remember, keeping the seeds of love planted, okay? So that's one thing. We've got to plant some seeds of love. We have to keep students busy, okay? And that's at all ages, okay? Students need to be busy with different projects. And parents, if any parents are listening out there, they have to be aware that we are in an economy. Unfortunately, President Obama is aware of this, of this unfortunate incident, that our economy is closed programs. And we don't want programs closed, okay? But unfortunately, our economy is making that happen. So what does that mean? Does that mean that we quit? No, it means that we develop these resources in our community. Communities go to the churches, go to different agencies, and take a lead on developing some grassroots activities. Even if it's from your own home, I know a lot of people are like, oh, no, I'm not going to have a lot of people come to my home. But you'd be surprised at how much the school will allow you to do something after hours, okay, right there on campus. So we encourage you to look at ways that you can build within your community. White Apple Institute will help you with that. Okay, so remember that, teachers and parents out there, give us a call. Okay, students staying busy, dropping the stuff. Any other strategies that we can think of?
This is Tom again.
Sure.
What I'd like to say is parents need to do their part too, like get involved in sports and extracurricular activities and stuff. That goes along with keeping your kids busy and keeping the kids busy and giving them a strategy to succeed and teaching them they can succeed at something.
Hey, this is Jerron again. I definitely understand where he's coming from. But I think that increasingly in this economy, that's becoming an impossibility. Like, parents are having to work 2 and 3 jobs. Like, where are they going to find the time between leaving from job one to job two so that the kids have the clothes and the food and everything necessary to make it back and forth to school to be involved in, like, the after-school or extracurricular activities? I mean, like, the plain and simple truth is, like, there's not enough time in the day anymore with this economy being the way that it is.
And you're right, because when we talk about parents today, I do, you know, we're usually running about 2 jobs, 2.5 jobs. Somebody's carrying something extra if 2 parents are even working in the home. In addition to that, we're talking about teachers being overwhelmed, okay?
Right.
So what is the answer? Right. What is the answer to that? How do we get parents to get more involved when they don't have a lot of time? The only thing that I can suggest that I've seen happen with the most busiest parents, including me, myself, and I, who raised 2 children as a single parent, is you take whatever moment you can and make it a learning moment, okay? Even if it's as simple as going to the grocery store, make that an exciting experience. Now, that's hard to do because we're usually rushing in and rushing out of that too, okay? But we've got to take some time to stop and say, what can we do even within the home to implant some ethics, some morality, to teach some lessons, even if it's just as simple as having our children write an email to us about what they're doing for the day. You remember the time when parents would come home and say, well, honey, how was your day? Now it's so unfortunately so rushed that it's how was your day, and we really just want them to say fine so that we can continue to get ready for the next day. Right, Juwan?
That's absolutely right.
Okay, so instead of feeling bad about that and saying, well, I don't even have time to listen to my child, have your child write you an email. Have your child write you a note. Have your child draw you a picture. Get involved. Take whatever moment that you can to get involved with what your child is doing so that you can build some kind of relationship with them and still teach them about the real world. Because they're scared. Remember, our children are listening to the news also. Our
That's
children
right.
are listening to teachers, and they hear the fear, okay, that's going on in school. How do you think they feel
mm-hmm.
when they have to go home? This young man, Darian Albert, my God, he was on his way to a bus stop.
Right.
Honor student and was beaten to death in front of others. Okay? Don't think that this is not causing a tremendous amount of fear in the students who are following in his footsteps to be good students.
I mean, that's right. That's absolutely right. Because if you think about it, it's like the attitude is kind of like, I'm at risk. I'm at risk either way it goes. Like, I might as well, you know, arm myself as well. So then, like, they have this attitude to where, like, it makes the gangs a more plausible outcome or a more plausible option to these kids coming up than working real hard and working my way through school, because it's the innocent bystanders that always get hit. You know what I mean? And that's what they see.
Absolutely. We've got more another caller coming on. Let's see if we can get this caller. Good morning. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Welcome to Student to Teacher. Hello? 602-300?
Yeah, this is Reverend Woodbury.
Reverend Woodbury, thank you very much for calling in this morning. Have you been hearing a little bit of our conversation?
Well, I just got on.
Okay. Well, I really would like you, we've got about 17 minutes remaining on the show, but we're getting some really good dialogue going on about the things that we can do to help teachers and parents, okay, to prepare our young adults more for entering work and not dropping out and strengthening things as, you know, I mean, sometimes the parents aren't there anymore. When we're talking about you being 25 and 30 years old, this is not your parents anymore. But you still need to get your GED. You still need to go to school and go to work. Okay, so we've got to find some ways to do that. We're talking about planting the seeds of love, getting parents more involved with their students, okay, and any way that we can. We got another caller coming on. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Good morning.
This is Consuelo. Good morning.
Consuelo, thank you very much
yes.
for calling in. Any comments today?
No, but I'm just enjoying the dialogue that is going on, and it's a very relevant subject.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, and there's one more caller here. Here's our Los Angeles person. We seem to be missing a lot. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Good
Hello?
Morning. Yes, good morning. Thank you for calling into the show. Any comments? Okay. We're going to go back right now and just review a little bit. We've got planting the seeds. We've got keeping students busy. All of us are responsible for that within the community, even our churches, different agencies, getting the parents more involved. That's a very good comment, too. Also getting teachers to overcome the fear factor, okay, and rolling up their sleeves just a little bit more. And I know they're saying right now, because I'm even feeling it, too, what sleeves? I don't have any more sleeves to roll up, okay? I understand that, but we've got to do what we can.
Anita? Yeah. This is Jerry, and I saw a wonderful movie, which is a good example of taking a stand. It was on TV last night. Coach Carter, who said if they opened the gym back up without his athletes qualifying, he was going to retire. And the boys took a stand and went back to studying because they believed in the coach and they believed in the people. And we have a lot of groups out there that can help fill in at the schools that are already organized. They spend time at the gym. I'm thinking of off-duty policemen who need to, and I'm thinking of firemen, and people who already are approved to work in the government system, so we don't have to go through a lot of screening. So there are lots of ways to go after this. And I think that that's one of the things we have to look at. That was an amazing deal. Those boys, six of them, ended up going on to college, and they were all in the dropout mode. And we love those stories because those are the kind that inspire us and remind us that there are ways to do it that are different than the way we're doing it now.
Absolutely. We live in
Another good idea as to keeping the kids more involved would be like for the local area, like small business owners to get more involved in the education process, so that the kids can be able to actually see that there is some value in getting an education. You know, if you get to get them involved, and like I think it would be absolutely great. I know that the economy as it is makes it pretty much impossible, but I would love to see like some kind of government program that offers some kind of either tax breaks or something to small business owners that have some kind of internship programs where they can take in these high school kids, get them involved working in the business management portion of their businesses so that the kids can see their education working. You know what I mean? Like, if I don't, like, whatever I'm doing, like, if there's no reason for it, it's only going to maintain my interest for a short amount of time. You know what I mean?
Yes. And I'll tell you something, Jerron, you hit a nerve there. Because I'm getting ready to get into resources right now, and you're absolutely right. What we are now bringing back is businesses opening up apprenticeships, and this is very, very important that you take this information down. Apprenticeships are what we started many, many years ago with school and the business community, and businesses, especially those operated minority-owned businesses, can actually take a step in that direction. There are tax cuts. Tremendous tax cuts for you business owners. So any of you that know somebody that is open to this, have them call White Apple Institute. I'll be glad to talk to them and help them to begin an apprenticeship program or a program where they're hiring targeted individuals. And there are tremendous tax breaks for that, in addition to the fact that the GED in itself is just one step, ladies and gentlemen, just one step out there. Getting through the test is very difficult for many of us that have been out of school for a while because we're dealing with anxiety issues, okay? So that's one of the ways that we can help you is to overcome that anxiety. But so what? Now you have the GED, okay? Look at your world around you. You've got high school and college graduates still out of work. So just because you get that GED doesn't mean that it's an automatic job.
Right.
So what do we do to build our reputation, our experience, would be to begin volunteering in different things that we're interested in, to talking to businesses out there about calling White Apple Institute or other resources about how to develop an apprenticeship. An apprenticeship is where you work for a company, they are able to pay you, and sometimes you can find 50% of that money for them. So if they're paying you $7.25 an hour, we can find a way to get half of that money back. We've got organizations like AmeriCorps that Dr. Martha Bergen brings up for us. Okay, we've got insurance companies that have great educational programs like Wendy Duncan, one of our insurance agents, brings up. So we've got resources. Our show this morning is about stimulating thought, stimulating positive attitude and a dialogue that says call us so that we can give you some ideas. And if we don't get back to you right away, as Dorothy will tell you, we're overwhelmed sometimes with phone calls coming in, but we promise we'll do our best. Isn't that right, Dorothy?
That's right.
Okay. Any other comments out there? I mean, we've got some great comments that came in today. Anybody have any questions about the GED test for apprenticeships, anything that I've mentioned here this morning? Please feel free to join.
What kind of this is Jerron again. What kind of companies is it? Only specific areas of industry that can get involved in, or like is it anybody? Any small business period can get into the apprenticeships? Because
well,
like I'm thinking about like in the area I'm in, there's a lot of like restaurants and things like that. You know, like and there's people who decided they want to cook and stuff like that. Like can those restaurants get involved in the apprenticeship program?
Yes. They can, but it's a little bit more difficult with restaurants and theaters because they run on a different kind of tax schedule. As you know, they do not have to comply with minimum wage requirements, according to the Department of Labor. So you're really looking for businesses that that are agreeing to pay, of course, the minimum wage, because that makes it more appealing to them to hire people. But it doesn't mean that people cannot become involved in restaurants and theaters. It just means that our major focus, especially with apprenticeships, okay, is that we're talking to individuals that can teach a skill. And that can be even a clerical skill, okay? You can go to them and say, listen, I'm interested in being a secretary. I don't have a lot of experience, but I do have an organization that's willing to help you look at how you can hire me on as a student, as an one of your students to learn how to do this work. And in exchange, you're getting a very dedicated, committed worker. And you see, these are dialogues that we help people to develop. You know, with a resume, that even if they don't have any work experience, Duran, there's always something that we can pull from their experiences and life experiences. Awards they got in school, even if it was 10 or 20 years ago, we can pull together a resume that makes sense. Isn't that interesting? Praise God. Isn't that interesting? Okay,
yep,
any other comments? Any other questions? That's a good question, though, Duran. Please make sure you follow up with us on alternatives for businesses, and we will share with you the information on how to build an apprenticeship. We have a company right now that is dealing with energy because, you know, President Obama is very focused on energy.
Absolutely.
And so, so this company now has already devoted millions of dollars to go into the communities around the United States and in Tennessee to build apprenticeship programs for young people interested in energy, okay? There's apprenticeships for waste management, okay? There's apprenticeships out there for learning about plumbing and electricity, okay?
Oh.
So there's a lot of possibilities out there, especially for young women and young men. Nothing is out there that we have to turn down.
Okay.
I believe, and I think that you believe too, and I think that the other listeners out there believe that we as a nation can make it. We
absolutely
can make life a little bit better for our dropouts, okay?
Mm.
And we can teach them how to drop back in again, drop back into life. Right, Nazim?
Yes, and I want to add a little something here, too.
Sure.
Besides the apprenticeship program, there are mentoring programs already established where you have professionals, men and women, who are reaching back, grabbing these students, taking them on their workplace, and showing them new skills, new environments, a new culture.
Yes, that's right, absolutely. And we don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable because maybe they might have a learning disability, a challenge with math, a challenge with reading. We want you to know there's no perfect brain out there, I promise you. As a psychologist, I can truly validate that everyone has a challenge. Don't let that stop you, okay? Pick up the phone today. Dorothy, tell them where to call. We've got about 6 minutes remaining on the show. Tell them where to call in.
Okay. Can I call in?
Okay. Oh, Tom says he'll give the information. Go ahead. Tell them where to call in.
Okay. Call 1-646-727-3758.
Absolutely, Tom. And then, of course, if they want to connect with White Apple Institute, the number to call for White Apple Institute is what? Go ahead.
It is 480-659-8582.
Very good, Tom. Thank you so much for sharing that information with our listeners. And, of course, you can always log in to our website at whiteappleinstitute.org. And, Dorothy, tell us a little bit about how they can do. Right now the membership's at 50%, which is starting at $12, right? Eventually,
yes,
they'll be $24. Yeah, go ahead.
They range from $12 annually to $288 annually. And on our website, there are some details about what each membership covers. And eventually that PayPal will be available so we can do the PayPal option and offer donations as well as any contributions.
Thank you, Dorothy. Thank you. And Dorothy, by the way, she's not only just a great resource consultant, she is also a consultant for prepaid legal. And she advises us many times on different things about identity theft that our students are interested in. So if you want to talk to Dorothy, make sure you connect with White Apple Institute also. Do we have any other resources we want to share with them? We've got about 4 minutes remaining on the show this morning.
Other than reminding them that the library is a great resource all the time.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And one other thing, for example,
mm-hmm.
I also want to mention a group here in Phoenix, Arizona called Desert Edge Mentoring.
Desert Edge Mentoring.
And if you go to DesertEdgeMentoring.com, you'll get to their website. You see,
okay.
They're actually doing what we're talking about. They're actually reaching down and grabbing these students and taking them on the workplace and being mentors for them and actually practicing the things I have in my book, such as optimism, faith, spirituality, compassion, empathy, respect. You see, and they're showing the kids, not just talking about it, actually demonstrating to kids that you can live a different kind of life and you can make some good money out here, and this is how you do it.
Wonderful, wonderful. As President Obama says, and we agree with him, yes, we can. I give a special thanks to all of you for participating in our show this morning. We have about 3 minutes remaining, so we have enough time to get in a few more comments. And we have another caller that just came in. Okay, right, all right. So one of the things that we want to make sure of is that everybody's clear that you don't have to drop out, okay? We can encourage people not to drop out, not only of school, out of school, but out of life. Please reach out to somebody. I know it's hard today. I know the economy is beating all of us up a little bit. But within each moment that we have, with each moment in the present that we have, without going back into the past, just right now, I bet that after this show is over, you could pick up the phone and call one person, just one person, and encourage them not only not to drop out, but not to lose faith in school and in work, no matter what their challenges are. Call them and invite them to listen to our show next week, or to even get on Blog Talk Radio, student to teacher, and listen to some of our previous shows. There's some great information. As a matter of fact, Juan, there is, I think about 3 shows back, the strategies for adult learners. You'll find that we have a gentleman on there that actually runs apprenticeship programs throughout the country. Okay. And he, okay. And so that might be a good resource for you also. And, of course, we'll help you to see how that can fit into the work that you guys are already doing within your church. Wouldn't that be great if churches could start getting businesses involved in apprenticeships? Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Marvelous.
Talk about a way to reach out and get some of the young people off of the streets. And even if it's just 2 hours a day or 2 hours every other day, okay, to be involved in a business enterprise, to be involved in a mentoring type situation as Nazim brought out. That maybe, you know, because I'm concerned when I look at Darian Albert and what happened to him, that not only are we looking at the factor, we got about 90 seconds left, not only are we looking at the factor that these students beat up another student to death, we're looking at the fact that many of them stood around and watched. Now, who are they? Who are they? That they didn't even have the compassion, the humanity to say, stop, stop. Call 911. Why there's so much fear to even report somebody? There's so much fear to just reach out and say, I love you. I love you, sister. I love you, brother. There's no need to drop out of life because there's help out there. There's many, many organizations. Believe me, there are many organizations out there that are working and trying to do the best they can. But they can't do it without your help, without passing the word along. Same thing that we're doing with this show this morning. We wish you much love and much peace as we go into another week. And we look forward to hearing from all of you again next Saturday morning, 10 to 11. Thank you so much. That's Arizona time. This is Professor Applewhite signing out. and Nazim Rashid. We'll close with your beautiful music.
Thank you.